Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Magician Nelson Lugo.
Hi, I'm nerdcore rapper Shafer the Dark Lord.
We're best friends
who hate each other's guts.
And we co-host The Epic Podcast,
a monthly show in which we discuss comic books,
video games,
television,
movies,
our debilitating emotional problems,
and Batman.
So much Batman.
That's The Epic Podcast
on the Nerdy Show Podcast Network.
Be safe, internets.
Bye. Seriously, so much Batman.
The following episode of Flame On is presented by the Nerdy Show Network.
Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse.
All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by a comic shop.
Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
And with the generous support of listeners like you.
To learn how you can support this and other fine geeky programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Spandex makes me horny.
Drag is the new spandex.
What's going on, everybody? Pat Navarre here, and it is time for Drag is the new spandex.
Woo-woo.
I am unfortunately not joined by Oral for this episode. However, I am glad to have Eric here.
Hooray, it's me.
It's a you, Eric.
It's a me.
We are here to discuss Drag Race Season 12.
Start your engines. Are we going to disseminate it?
We are going to disseminate from the very beginning of this season.
Season 12.
So we are back with another round of Drag Race.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like just yesterday it was Season 11.
Who won that one?
I don't know. Somebody. No. Which one's that one? Have you seen that video of, like, it's Jujubee and Tyra Sanchez, and the guy's like has a lapel mic and he's holding it up to them and he's like, Valentina, like what do they think or whatever?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, Sasha Velour, and Tyra Sanchez is like, which one's that one? And Jujubee's just like, the fuck.
It's like BB not knowing about Ornacia. Girl, they're going to meme you.
What's a meme? You know, they put that picture in the words? A meme. Oh, okay. So.
All relevant to season 12.
Pretty much, yes. So, yeah, actually, yes. So, we did not get an all-star season in between.
Thank
much
God.
To my shock. Because if you are in the know, you know that All-Star Season 5 was filmed before All-Star Season 12. All-Star Season 12. Before
Soon.
Drag Race.
I mean, next year it'll be here.
Pretty much. So you All-Stars 5 was filmed before Drag Race Season 12. And when we went through December without any announcements, and we went through January, and we got into, it was the end of January that when they announced the cast? It had to
yes.
have been, because
yep.
I was staying at the Gardens. So this was right around the transition time out of my old house, out of the palatial Rosevere Estates. So when they announced the Season 12 cast, I was like, wait a minute, this shouldn't be happening just yet. and I had an inkling, and I told anybody that would listen, something hinky is going on with All-Star Season 5, which we have come to find out that it will be on Showtime? The good thing for you and I, though, so we don't have to get another premium channel or find less than legal ways to watch it, is that apparently that will be on the WoW Presents Plus app the day after.
Really?
Yes, because like Thailand and the UK and all these other ones, I guess since it's not on the main channel, it doesn't have the same, there's not the same streaming rights.
Right, because Viacom isn't holding everything up.
Yes. So, which I mean, I was like, why am I paying $40 if I can't watch the new season of Drag Race mm-hmm. when it's out? And then I realized, oh, no Drag Race is on the WoW Presents Plus app at all for the main U.S. one.
Right.
So, at least now I will feel a little better that All Stars 5 will be on the app the day after. So, I think it's mm-hmm. going to be on Fridays again. So, Saturday morning I'll be able to watch. And then maybe we'll do
you
some
can wake
fun.
Up, pour a bowl of whatever cereal you like, and settle in for some Saturday morning drag queens.
Right? I'm excited for it. But we did get a very, I felt very Dragula-inspired runway walk when they announced the season 12 cast, where it was hosted by Evie Oddly. It felt very...
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that warehouse? And I didn't exactly enjoy it.
No, it wasn't great, but it was still better than Aquaria and Adam Rippon.
And that horrible lighting that they made the girls walk down the runway with.
Yeah.
My favorite way to watch that in any way, shape, or form is on Willem's Beatdown, where it's on there and she talks about it. She's like, Who lit my sisters like this? And then she had no clue who the voice was. And I'm like, yeah. Oh, dear God.
And just from that premiere when Britta Filter first came. Was it Britta first? Britta came out first. Not necessarily first in order, but she came out and it was like, just Britta. And I'm like, where's her last name?
I know, because two of my favorite names.
And then Jan came out and it's just Jan.
Now I think they're just referring to her as Simply Jan. Yeah, two of my favorite names of the season had to be censored, in a sense, because they are copyright names and they don't want to cease and desist. And I was so sad about that because I do enjoy the fact that I like campy drag names.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. I love my queens that I'm friends with that are part of houses or part of, you know, like have history behind their names. But you can't tell me that a good campy drag name is not fun.
It's fun.
I was like, you can't tell me that it's not.
I will not.
But yeah, so let's go through the queens.
Total, or we're just going to break it down into the two premiere episodes.
No, let's... I don't want to really like dig in each episode and kind of dissect and disseminate each one. if you do want that discussion, dissection, and dissemination of each episode in detail, I think Eric and I both would recommend the
Our
Race
good
Shape.
Friends over at...
Deep friend of the pod.
Deep friend of the pod.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem Belli. So I'm going to throw the names out at you, Eric, and I want to hear your initial reaction to each of these queens, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And these are in alphabetical order. It's not an order of preference for me or anything of that nature. Let's start with, from Georgia, Aiden Zane and her wig. That one wig.
She wears multiple in this newest episode.
I think two of them are the same wig. I think the League of Our Own one and the other one are the same wig.
She wore a blonde wig in the second look.
I know, but I think the first and the third look were the same wig.
Oh, were they?
Maybe, I'm not sure.
I don't know. I like the idea of Aiden better than actually seeing her on the show. Because like when she was doing the Meet the Queens and all that, I thought, oh, she's kind of neat. She's kind of a not going for full on spooky, but still kind of has more of an edge to her. But what I've seen of her on the show, I'm just like, eh.
What do you think of the fact that she's never performed in an actual club or bar or any type of drag establishment? I mean, at least Scaredy Cat had done drag once, or like performed once.
Yeah. And Soju at least had her video series. So I mean, I don't know how she got on the show. Honestly, where is casting finding these girls?
Well, I mean, they don't go out anymore. That was the first one or two. But she apparently put together a good tape.
But I mean, I assume in the tapes they have to show them performing.
Yeah,
something.
But you don't have to be performing in a club.
Yeah,
you need to be performing in your backyard, which is probably where she was. A lot of them like to do their videos and do the like the runway, because you have to do like a runway,
yeah,
and a performance. They like to use alleys because it's, you know, a long
mm-hmm.
corridor that they're able to walk. So I have a feeling that was more than likely where she probably did those scenes.
Yeah.
for her tape.
I mean, I kind of like the way she paints her face. I like her eye makeup, where it's a little more subtle, but it's a different shape.
Yeah.
I
don't like her eyebrows, but that's just me. Mm. I'm not in love with her. I don't think that she's bringing much to the table right now. I didn't really watch any of the Meet the Queen stuff. I really don't get invested until the show starts.
Mm-hmm.
Even the queens that I was kind of looking forward to. From the get-go, I was like, I don't really watch much until the show starts, because it's, I want to see what they do on the show versus who they are.
Right.
You know, and that's going to shine through no matter what, because all of these things are edited,
mm-hmm.
and including their Meet the Queens and all of these other little clips. But so far, really hasn't done much for me. Our first of the New York City girls, Britta, Miss Filter, if you're not legally obligated to any type of production deal. What'd you think of Britta?
She was someone I wanted to like a lot, and I thought was going to do amazing, but had just come in, and I feel like it's kind of been middling, like as far as her performance through the challenges has kind of been middle of the road, and she talks a big game, but I don't see her actually performing up to that standard, and I want to like her.
I like her look. I liked when she came in, her entrance look and everything. I thought that she looked cool. I think when I saw the cast reveal, she was one of the three that I was drawn to.
Yeah.
Along with somebody else that we'll get to in just a minute that has made this a whole world of different for the season. But yeah, I haven't really been thoroughly impressed with her in the show itself.
Mm-hmm.
I like her looks, although in the most recent challenge, I didn't understand how her final look was even a part of the challenge. Like, she missed the entire memo, and we'll get to that in a second. We'll break down these first four episodes momentarily. Let's go down the list. The next one from Springfield, Missouri, Crystal Method.
I like Crystal a lot. The drag queen.
I mean, you know.
No, I think she's kooky. Just her... She just seems like a nice person, you know, and just mellow. But when she puts on everything, she kind of elevates her, or it seems like it would elevate her. Although in some of the challenges, she kind of been shrinking back. And I don't have a problem with her makeup as much as Michelle does.
Okay. So I get that your look is your look. I think the difference is that her lips are so large, her eyes are so large, that there isn't really room for any other emotion to show.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people like to compare it to Trixie. Trixie's makeup really is only big around her eyes. She doesn't, so there's a lot of room for her mouth to express emotion. And that gives her a whole different range of face, even though it's very much that same type of look with, you know, the makeup stays roughly the same the entire time. I don't mind her. I haven't really been able to, honestly, I was watching this most recent episode, and when I saw her out of drag, I didn't realize it was her. She's made that much of an impression on me. I thought it was Jackie Cox.
I mean, she hasn't got a lot of
screen time.
Yeah.
I know, but I remember when she was like, my Mexican heritage, I was like, wait, isn't Jackie Persian? And I was like, oh shit, that's Crystal Method? Never mind. Moving along to our first LA queen. Oh yeah.
LA. Well,
from La La Land, Miss Gigi Good, or as I call her, Morgan McMichaels II.
But, like, has staying power.
But it's actually doing well in the competition. Yes.
I really enjoy Gigi a lot. And when she first walked into the workroom, I did not think I was going to like her. Because she was just this young little self-proclaimed fashion look queen.
I know. And she's only 21.
And
which is crazy to me.
Typically, I tend to gravitate towards the more experienced queens.
Them old bitches.
Better old Broad Brigade or whatever it was from season 7.
All the 26-year-olds. The bitter exactly, old lady brigade.
Exactly.
Here's Ginger at 26. Here's Kennedy at 29.
But Gigi seems to have a good attitude and has just been doing well all around, whether it's writing a verse in a song or acting. It seems like she can do just about everything right now.
Yeah, I didn't want to like her just from the cast reveal.
Yeah.
Just because I felt like looking at Morgan McMichaels with a much longer face.
Mm-hmm.
But she's impressed me on the show. I'm actually kind of surprised by it. It doesn't hurt that her mom is a costume designer.
For sure. And the fact that her mom supports her enough to make all her costumes for her. That's great.
That shows you a changing world out there when you're 21 and getting on the show and your mom has been making your costumes for you.
Yeah.
And not having it look like what normally our parents making our costumes for a school play would look like. Next up is RuPaul's favorite name. Coming to you from North Kakalaki. Heidi and Closet, which I had read somewhere, and I don't know if this is true or not. I'm going to disseminate false information, possibly. The N stands for Nina.
Why?
Heidi Nina Closet.
Oh. Still so bad.
That is the second favorite of how names changed, and I wish they had stayed. The first one for me, my top one will always be Miss Cracker. Her original drag name was Brianna. Brianna Cracker. And I wish it had not changed. But we all know her as Miss Cracker now, so yeah. You know. And I love the fact that she is doing her review with a Jew for season 12 as well. If you haven't been watching those, go watch them. So Heidi in Closet, what were your thoughts on her?
I didn't have strong feelings towards her because I don't know. I never really connected as an audience viewer to Chi Chi Devane at all.
Or Kennedy Davenport, who she looks like the love child of, both of them.
Yeah. And so I thought, she's got a good personality, and I feel like she's willing to work for everything, but I don't know. I don't think she'll do as well as Chi Chi did.
No, I think seeing her and watching her on the show so far, I've kind of been to the point where I'm like, you're charming.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think as charming as Chi-Chi, but I like her. I don't have anything bad to say about her, honestly.
No.
You know, she's just kind of there for me. And where she's a little unpolished in certain things, like when she came out in her Pinocchio outfit,
I thought that was cute.
It was, but I felt like the nose should have, you could see that it was like a fake nose, like there was no attaching it.
Right.
Like there were some little things that were just slightly unfinished that I hope with this exposure and hopefully once this pandemic isn't a factor, they will that she'll be able to get some more money and be able to like really hone her craft much more than she has so far.
Right.
Next up from New York City, Jackie Cox, our first Persian queen.
I really like Jackie a lot. Like, she's...
Because you just see her and you expect her to do postmodern jukebox songs because she's like a throwback to a bygone era. And that's not a bad thing, honestly. I think that's quite endearing to about her.
I mean, I like the fact that she's so period PC.
Yeah.
Her whole attitude, it just feels happy, freewheeling, but a little more, like, she seems willing to go there, but not always exist living in that crazy space, kind of like Thorgy Thor. Like, she'll go, she's willing to act.
Yeah.
But she's not constantly there.
Yeah, I think she's cute. I definitely like the aesthetic. I think that she's really kind of put together well. I love that she came in with her name written in was a Farsi.
Yeah. The very Mouseketeer look.
Yes. Look, yeah. I love when we can really see very positive depictions of groups that are very maligned for absolutely no reason, for the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. So to have that kind of representation on there is definitely great. And she's been doing, you know, I think she has done well in my eyes as far as what her looks have been, putting all that together. So I appreciate her. Next up from Milwaukee, Jada Essence Hall. What's your thoughts on Jada?
She's performing well in the competition.
What are your thoughts on Jada?
I don't particularly mesh with her aesthetic.
Okay.
And to me, she seems a little all about herself.
She does think her shit don't stink, and luckily, so far in the show, she's been able to back it up.
Yeah, for sure.
I do wish she were a little bit more palatable, mm-hmm. in the sense, like, just that I wish she was maybe not as cocky or coming across as cocky.
Right, because in her first episode, like when they were doing all the choreography stuff,
yeah.
Just the way she was talking back and shooting down every idea, but not wanting to really give any suggestions.
Yeah.
Just kind of put me off to her. And she really hasn't done anything to bring it back in my eyes. But, I mean, she's performing very well. Like, all her looks are really well done.
Yeah.
I mean, although I didn't totally care for her entrance outfit.
Mm-hmm.
She likes to wrap up her hair a lot. But that could just be one of her signatures.
That is possible. We'll see.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Next up is Simply Jen from New York City.
I love her. I love everything she's done. She's pretty much my top queen right now.
Jan, before the show started, one of the things that really... First off, she's Alexis Michelle's daughter.
Oh, really?
Which is... come on. She's a Broadway girl. Of course she is. I think she's very well put together, but I think the thing that made me... So I had found out about her through Race Chaser, because they were talking about contouring titties.
Oh, okay.
And Willem brought her name up because there is a photo where she did a thing, it was like a denim swimsuit. And because when you contour your titties don't move with an outfit.
Right.
The way the outfit sat for the photo, it looked off. Like the swimsuit wasn't where it should have sat.
Okay. Yeah.
So I looked her up and that was the first time I'd heard of JanSport. And I was like, fuck, I love this name. On Twitter, I think I ended up following her on Twitter. And she started this thing called Jan's Jukebox.
I haven't really watched any of those.
Oh, my God. So good. So before, it was after the announcement, but before the show started airing.
Mm-hmm.
And the first one she had done was Dua Lipa, Don't Start Now. And she sings the song,
mm-hmm.
a portion of the song. It's usually only like a minute or two. It's not the full song. But she also recreates the video.
Okay.
And it was so well done. I was like, bitch, this is right. This is done right. And she sounded great. And Darcelle's been doing that song so many times recently that it's become like an earworm for me. And just to see it done, I was like, okay, I like this bitch. And that's continued through the show. So yeah, I'm with you that she's definitely one of my faves right now. Next up is Nikki Doll, named after Nicki Minaj, even though they're spelled differently.
Sure, Jan. Sport. Sure, Jan.
another New York City queen by way of Paris.
She's okay. I mean, I think she just needs to talk more French, really. It's kind of like what the judges were saying after the improv challenge when she was using the whole language barrier as her reasoning why she didn't do much. And they're just like, just talk French. Just talk at us in French. We'll just think it's funny.
Yeah.
And it seems like in the workroom, like especially in this most recent episode, like she's willing to be goofy with the girls and everything. So hopefully there's going to be a storyline with her where she just opens up and lets more of that out.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about Nikki Doll. Her looks are great. She's very pretty in drag. Mm-hmm. I just haven't connected with Nikki very much at all. So let's double back for a second. I'm looking at this list.
I was like, the one.
And we didn't talk about Dahlia Sin.
Eh.
Yeah, she's from the House of Aja.
I'm like, just give us Aja. I didn't care for her fashion. I didn't care necessarily for her attitude much.
Yeah, she's
just kind of meh.
She didn't have the worst. She didn't like leave the worst impression on me, but she definitely didn't really make an impression on me at all. I'd take Jada Essence Hall over Dahlia Sin any day.
Yeah, me too.
Between the two of them. So next up in alphabetical order is Rock M Sakura.
I love her.
Or Rock'em Sakura.
She was fantastic. She just wasn't strong enough. I think emotionally for the show.
Yeah. I mean, when you're crying in the first episode, that's usually a sign of...
Yeah.
You don't have a long time left on this.
But...
Because it would only get harder and worse the longer that they were, sequestered away.
But I did appreciate her costumes, apart from the ball extravaganza.
Yeah.
I thought she painted very well.
In her traditional Rock'em Sakura way. And yeah. when she lightened it up for the ball as well.
Yeah, like, exactly.
She's extremely talented as a makeup artist. I thought, talent wise, I thought she was cool. I definitely don't think that she was ready for the show.
No. Which is sad.
But maybe in an All-Stars.
Yeah. I think she could come back strong for an All-Stars.
Yeah. Maybe not the next one, but maybe the one after that.
Well, the next one's already filmed.
Well, but you know what I mean. Like, not for six, but maybe for seven.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like Shangela. Like, she needed more time to really be out in the world and whatnot. So when Shangela came back for three versus being back for the first All-Stars.
Right.
So I think that she'll do well for herself out in the world,
and she's gotten a very positive response across all social media. Yeah. So I mean, I think everyone loves her, and the fact that in her confessional outfit, when they showed a full picture of her, she's in fishnet stockings as her bottom half.
Come on, Rock. So the next up is one of the queens that has made this season a very interesting season. And that is Sherry Pie from New York City. Do you have any comments? We're going to address the big issue after we do a brief rundown of these first four episodes. But what were your first thoughts on Sherry Pie? Before she premiered on the show, we had all of these other things. So I legit just want your, just from Meet the Queens and the cast reveal.
And the cast reveal, I was excited to see her. I like the whole show tunes, music theater, camp vibe, and I thought she was going to be not necessarily the next Nina, but, you know, in kind of that
same kooky fashion
lane, and I was excited to see that. And
me too. I think when I think after the cast reveal, I think I posted that the queens I was looking forward to seeing were Britta, Jan, and Sherry Pie. Mm-hmm. And I look back, and that tweet did not age well. and then especially after I saw her out of drag on the show, and I was like, oh, dear God, it's Mimi, I'm first, which then means it looks like my ex's ex.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God damn it. 2020, what are you doing to me? and then finally, Widow Von Du, who is a doll in person. I will just say that. I did get to work with her.
I mean, I like what she's doing on the show. I think she deserved the win she got in the first episode. But, I mean, the past couple episodes, she's kind of just been fading a little bit into the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, I don't think she's going to completely fade away. I think she'll going to be strong for a while.
Yeah, but I liked her from her entrance. I liked her in the first episode, and at that point was around the time that I worked with her, so kind of my vision on her is a little bit skewed, just because working with her and dealing with her in person was definitely an experience. She was very cool to work with, so I enjoy her. All right, let's do a quick rundown of these episodes. They went to a season 6/7 style premiere. They did two big openings. So we had our first seven queens come out. Mm-hmm. And in season 7 fashion, they did the spring and fall runways.
Yes. Which I really liked them breaking it into the two episodes. So that way, all of the queens get a chance to come out, show what they're about, and they get a little feedback from the judges.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to talk to the judges.
Absolutely.
So that way they kind of get a baseline. Okay, they kind of like what I'm doing. They kind of don't like what I'm doing. I kind of make a little bit of changes or not. But I really like that format.
Yeah. And Nicki Minaj was the guest judge on the first episode. And they did, as their maxi challenge, they wrote, recorded, and choreographed to the new hot track, I'm That Bitch. I think overall, pretty good. Nothing too...
Yeah, I thought Nicki was a really good guest judge.
Yeah, she obviously had a lot of good things to say, because that is, I think, the most I've ever seen a guest judge like have airtime.
Right.
And give commentary during an episode.
Mm-hmm.
So this is when they first find out. So it was Gigi Good and Widow Von Due as your top two. They thought, and Widow had even said this, she's like, when they did it, they had no idea what was happening. And when they whittled it down and it was just the two of them, she was like, how the fuck did I end up in the bottom two?
Yeah, because, yeah, you may have thought, oh, well, they told me all good things and I'm probably the winner. And then you don't, I mean, I'm sure in that moment, you're not paying attention to, oh, they haven't declared a winner yet.
Oh, no, I'm sure that they did. I think she had said that. She was like, It was all kind of weird because they hadn't. And then it was just the two of them. They're like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then they had said that, okay. We're going to have one, you know, you two at the top. We're going to have one winner. And they did an All-Stars format. So it was a 6-7 All-Stars 2 format for this. And Widow Von Due took home a cash tip of $5,000.
Which I thought that was a really good lip sync.
Yes.
I was really surprised by Gigi Good's performance.
Yeah.
And I thought she did really well. But the thing about it was Widow probably would have won almost just, my point is she didn't need to try so hard.
Yeah.
She didn't need to do every trick she can possibly do to win that very first lip sync.
Well, I mean, it was like Trinity versus Charlie Hides, when Charlie was just standing there and Trinity's like doing backflips and whatnot. It's like,
I don't know. I think Widow still had to work for it because
Didn't have to pull out all the tricks for it.
Yeah.
Where like Trinity was doing all these like crazy things and Charlie was just standing there, so she could have literally just done a couple of twirls and it would have been a better performance.
Yeah.
Episode 2 was very similar. Their mini challenge was the fall and spring fashions. And then they did a Fosse-esque Cell Block Tango inspired ditty called You Don't Know Me. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, it wasn't as strong as
I felt bad for them getting that version, that song versus getting the I'm That Bitch. Although I did love Jan's portion of it.
Everything Jan does, though.
You had Robin and Tandy Newton as your guest judges. Mm-hmm. I would have been so psyched for Robin to be there. Yeah. Oh, my God. You had Sherry Pie and Jada Essence Hall as your top two, same format.
Mm-hmm.
And Jada took the win with her $5,000 cash tip.
Yep.
And then at the end, they had the girls met up for the first time. And I was like,
the
come
drama.
On. Y'all did this in season 6. We knew that it wasn't going to be like a fight. I mean, come on, for real. Episode 3 was the first one with all of the queens together. And the first episode where they edited Sherry Pie out of most of it.
No more confessionals for Sherry Pie.
And very little screen time at all. So their mini challenge borrowed from Drag Race UK.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the winner from each of the first two episodes rank the opposite team from who they thought was their biggest competition to their least competition.
Mm-hmm.
Those people became the tops and the bottoms all became team captains.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to perform a what we'll call an improv challenge because a lot of it was scripted.
Improv? Question mark?
There were improv portions. But to a show called The World's Worst. Basically, an American Idol
America's
type of...
America's Got No Talent.
Exactly. I am still not sure how the Del Rio triplets did not end up in the top. I thought their skit was the absolute best out of all of them.
I mean, two out of the three did make it to the top.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Jackie and...
Heidi. Okay.
We're both in the top for critiques.
Okay. Well, then that's good. I at least appreciate that. You had Olivia Munn as your guest judge. And then you had...
That was the Buttons and Bows... Runway.
Oh, yes, the Buttons and Bows runway.
Mm-hmm.
That's where Heidi brought out her Pinocchio, because she's a real boy now.
Yes. Sherry ended up winning. Which, I don't know if I agreed with that. Which, I mean, there must have been unedited footage, or edited footage.
Yeah, the original cut of that show must have shown them in a much funnier light.
Yeah, there must have been something... with their skit that we didn't see.
But I didn't understand how that ended up as our top, like our top person was right. Sherry Pye at the end of that.
Yeah.
Sherry ends up winning, like you said. She gets a $5,000 cash tip. I want to know where they're getting all this money from now all of a sudden. There's no sponsors. It's all cash. And Dahlia Sin goes home after a piss-poor lip sync to Ariana and Iggy's Problem. Honestly, I felt like both Nikki and Dahlia should have gone home.
That could have been a double sachet.
Yeah. However, VH1 also did a disclaimer at the end, and they said that they made a $5,000 donation to the Trevor Project because of everything that was going on.
Yep.
The most recent one, Leslie Jones is the guest judge. Fuck yes.
She can guest judge every time.
Just have her there. She doesn't even need to be a judge. Mm-hmm. Just have her on the side of the stage fucking yelling shit all the time. It'd be great. So their mini challenge was a beautiful...
This was the weirdest... Beehive Jive.
The Beehive Jive was a bee-inspired twerk-off where they just said cherry pie and then cut away to the next person. So Gigi Good won the challenge. She got a $2,500 cash tip. And so then it was the ball challenge with 12 people this time.
36 looks.
Yes.
I mean, I appreciate that they're willing to give the ball to more people to just kind of see more fashion and whatnot. But, and they don't need to wait until the top four or five to do the ball, but they can wait till it's like eight people, you know, because it's a lot of looks to walk.
It really
down.
Is. So you had Lady Baller, you had Basketball Wives, and you had Balls to the Wall. Were there any standouts to you?
Lady Baller, I loved Rockham's tetherball headpiece. I didn't understand how the rest of the outfit kind of tied into tetherball, but whatever.
She was the pole.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. I would have loved it more if she had considered it a Mexican ball and cup.
Oh, true.
That would have been a lot harder to imitate than a tetherball.
I love Jan's looks. I'm so mad that she was only safe.
Yeah.
I would have cried for her because she was safe. Would have been a lot of emotion for safe, but still.
I don't remember her soccer ball moment too much, though, for the...
her lady baller?
Yeah.
I honestly loved all of them. Gigi definitely had some great looks.
The Hell Heathers inspired croquet thing. Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I liked Britta's looks, but I don't understand how a pineapple is balls to the wall in any way, shape, or form. And I, as much as Rock looked amazing paint-wise, that final look, like, none of her looks were amazing, and that final look was trash. Aiden Zane, though, honestly, I don't understand how Aiden didn't end up in the bottom two. I really feel it should have been Aiden and Britta.
It's probably because
they want to keep her around for a little bit and cause some drama.
No, I don't think it's that. I think for them, they really liked the League of Their Own look so much.
Which is fine.
Because I think it was a lot, I think that look was a lot more successful than Britta's first look.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really care for the whole baseball sleeves thing because I'm like, she's trying to... They want you more to represent playing the sport than being the ball.
Well, I mean, that goes to Rock also, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. It was... In the fandom, I think it was a very controversial bottom two because of that, but no matter how you slice it, unfortunately, Rock M. Sakura, or Sakura, if you are being proper about your Japanese pronunciation, ended up losing the lip sync of S&M by Rihanna and is our most recent queen to go away. So as of right now, who are your top three?
Jan, Jackie Cox, and I probably would put Jada in there because I think she's just performing that well.
Yeah.
Not that I particularly care for her, but I think she is doing the work.
Yeah, I would have to say that Jan is one of my favorites. Gigi and...
Oh, yeah, Gigi.
Jackie would probably be my top three favorites.
Yeah.
I think Jackie, Jada, and Gigi would probably be more in line with like a top three for me.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. We're going to just briefly touch on this because y'all have heard us yammering on long enough. But before the first episode with Sherry Pie came out on VH1, there was a very big story where allegations of, I guess it's categorized under sexual assault.
Escándalo.
Where Sherry Pie, posing as Allison Moisey, a casting director, over the course of various lengths of time, emailed back and forth with unsuspecting aspiring actors, mm-hmm. who she then had them do a variety of different things, including role-playing, steroid use, and I think actually one guy took steroids for a year that were paid for by the supposed Allison Moisey. And then there was one guy who... she videotaped masturbating, I believe. I'm not 100% on the details. But because of that, it has caused for Sherry Pie to be disqualified from the competition. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that means that she ranks. I don't know if that means she is a top four contestant.
I feel like she made it to the finale because the way that they're phrasing it, where they're saying she will not be performing at the finale.
Well, she will not be appearing at the finale, which is supposed to tape this spring. All of the queens return for it.
Right. Which is a little different than they handled the Willem situation. But the Willem wasn't any sort of law breaking.
No, no.
It was just show rule breaking.
Exactly. Yeah. I am pretty sure she places high. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she makes top four or not, but... yeah, so we obviously don't condone any of that, and if you have had a similar situation, not necessarily with that, but if you have been a victim of anything of that nature, come forward and make sure that it is something that you discuss and that you do talk about. I know that it is tough to be the first person to speak out against somebody, but we've seen through many things in the last few years that once you are that first, you basically, essentially, you become a domino. And if it's been done to you, then more than likely that person has done it to somebody else. So speak out, get help. And we're not going to talk much about Sherry Pie on this podcast when we come back and revisit the show in a few more episodes. But we wanted to just put that out there for you. So thank you, Eric, for joining me for this episode of Drag is the New Spandex. And we'll see y'all next time. Bye, bitch.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.